At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Well, look who decided to show up. It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. It's a Friday. We're 2 days away from Steelers Browns. Week 6 of the NFL has gotten started in a big way. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. The Penguins are 2-0, too. Good things are happening. Kabali's got to be happy, right? Thanks for checking in on Kabali and Mac. He's correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Kabali. I'm just a dude in his basement with a microphone, Chris Mack. Make sure you follow on all your social media, X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. If you're one of the first 500 on Instagram, once we get there, we're only about 50 away. Somebody's going to win a $100 gift certificate to Yoli's Casino and Craft House. Go get a Yoli roll. Go get a nice cold iron with your dinner. Maybe take the family with you. Maybe don't even tell them you want it and go on your own on a Friday night. That's an idea. And of course, once we get to 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, we got your choice, either an autographed Will Howard Steelers helmet or the autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest. Less than 200 to go until we get there and give that away. So think of three or four people you know that would like this show and just text them the link to the YouTube. Have them subscribe, bang, and tell them if their name gets pulled for the giveaway, they got to give it to you. I think that seems like a simple trade. They get Kaboom a couple times a week. I happen to be here too. And you get either a Will Howard helmet or Stone Cold vest out of the deal. Morning, Mark. How are you?
Good. How have you been?
I'm fantastic. I had to take a picture of every single soap and air freshener from Bath and Body Works that my wife has in the house this morning because she needs to go to the mall and buy more, apparently. So that's my morning. How's yours going?
I guess you just texted me.
Yeah, to make sure you were awake.
Now, your boy Jeff Hathorne called me 5 minutes before, so he must not be on the Kabali and Mac podcast Hawk. Schedule.
Hawk Hathorne. And we got to get the man subscribed. We usually see him on Fridays, so I'm going to have to tell him to get involved.
I don't know. Yesterday was a long day for him. He did the old Steelers straight to the Penguinos, so he might back to the Steelers. So he
hardest working man in Pittsburgh sports media, Jeff Hathorne of 93.7 The Fan. Yes. Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show. Look, you don't want to mow, you don't want to water, you don't want to fertilize, you don't have to keep up with the lawn and spend all the money and time and maintenance that you do on it. Get grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. Get a hold of Southwest Greens by going to southwestgreenspa.com. Looks, feels, acts like natural grass, but it's not. It's beautiful. It's perfect for you and the family, the pets, everything. They'll come out. They'll do, if you just want a little corner of the yard for the kids to play in around their swing set, maybe. If you want the whole yard, you want a putting green in the corner of the yard so you can practice any time of year, by all means, they can do it. And they do a fantastic job. Get a hold of Jake at Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. We appreciate their support of the show. What did you think of that Thursday night football game?
Well, you know, I'm thinking we should induct Jackson Dart and Scataboo into the Hall of Fame right now after two games.
I mean,
three games.
I'm not going that far, but that was a hell of a game by those two kids last night. Even though Brian Daboll was doing his best Bud Kilmer on the sideline, trying to drag Jackson Dart out of the blue tent.
Yeah, I mean, we probably should slow down a little bit here with the Jackson Dart phenomenon and the Cam Scataboo. I understand why Scataboo is a very engaging individual. And I can see why he's liked, but you know, so was Peyton Hillis, who found himself on the cover of Madden. Then he just like
disappeared
into oblivion. Although he did
somewhere now.
Well, no, you know, he had that issue where he saved his kid from drowning, and he was in. You remember that?
That was not long ago.
Yeah. So. I'm not sitting here ripping on a guy like that because he's...
No, shout-outs to Peyton Hillis for being cut from that Mike Allstott mold, which I think Scataboo is as well.
I think Scataboo's a little different. I think he has more physical attributes than, say, Allstott. Allstott would just run your ass over.
Allstott was just a guard lining up at fullback, basically. But it was beautiful to see. And I'll be honest. I understand what you're saying. Like, we don't do spicy hot takes usually. But so I will temper everything I'm about to say with, yes, it's early for Dart and Scataboo. Yeah. Yes, that's an Eagles defense that is really beat up, especially with all the losses in the secondary. Yes, the Eagles offense looked like trash again. Jeez. They handed off to Saquon Barkley twice. He gets two first downs on the first two plays of the game, and then they only give it to him 11 more times the rest of the night, I think it was. Well, they got to figure out what the hell they're doing.
Twice as much than last week, but yeah.
Well, they are 0-3 now since they signed Saquon Barkley when he touches the ball fewer than 15 times in a game. You would think they would figure out that there's some correlation there.
Yeah, you know, imagine Philadelphia talk radio today.
Oh, my thinking, God, the city has to be burning.
Oh, it has to be. I mean, I'm guaranteed it's fire Sirianni, whatever his name is. Fire him. Fire everybody else. Get rid of Jalen Hurts. Trade A.J. Brown.
Hurts didn't look good last night. Missed a wide open Devontae Smith, what would have been a game-changing play.
You know, to me, I think the Eagles are – a non-likable team. I'm not even talking about Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, or whatever.
Right.
I'm just talking about the fan base, number one, or somewhat abrasive. And number two.
Abrasive? That is the most understated way to describe Philly fans ever.
And yesterday, or last night.
Can I go the extreme opposite? Because I went to Penn State. I was there with Philly people.
A lot of fly Eagles fly in Penn State, right?
Yeah. E-A-G-E-S-L-E-S, Eagles.
Well,
yeah,
my point was going to be was the double bird to everybody who hates the tush push. Let's do it four times in a row. That was some
It's the only play
there.
They run well at this point, though.
Yeah, but come on, man. Four in a row from like the 6 yard, whatever it was.
I mean, it got them the first down and then it got them the touchdown.
What I'm saying is everybody's like, what the hell is going on here? I can see doing it from the 1 yard line or whatever, a fourth and short, but doing it four times, then Scataboo runs over like seven people and scores from like the 7 yard line. It's like, that's football. That's not.
Yeah, it's more rugby than football, which evolved from. But here nor there.
It's just not fun. And I think that's one of the reasons they've been successful.
One of the reasons they've been successful is because everybody jumps the snap. It happened again last
night. I'm talking about as an organization and Howie Roseman is the guru of all general managers now.
I don't want to take anything.
They're not a likable team outside of probably Philly.
See, I don't think it's the team so much. I don't mind Hurts or Saquon or Brown or Smith or anybody on the defense. You know, I really don't. Zach Bond's fun to watch as far as linebackers go. I don't dislike the guys on the team, and I don't really have a strong dislike of the Eagles. And we do have to give Howie Roseman his flowers. The dude knows what he's doing. But I will say, it's easy to hate Philly. Like, as many friends as I have from Philly, I can still hate Philly. I can still send them just absolute horrible text messages this morning and say, how was your night last night? Because it's Philly. They are, in general, as fans, a bunch of assholes.
I don't view the Phillies as a hateable organization.
Oh, please.
I don't.
Please. I hate the Phillies.
Well, you hate the Flyers. I mean, you probably
I hate the Flyers. I hate the Phillies. And I don't mind when the Eagles fall on their face either, because it hurts Philadelphia sports fans, and that makes me feel good.
You probably hated the Philadelphia Stars of the USFL, right?
I didn't watch any USFL.
Who was the indoor soccer team back in the day? Philadelphia.
I don't remember what they were called.
Somebody. But
I wasn't into the indoor soccer thing either.
Yeah, not the Paul Child. It's not the Paul Child days.
Pittsburgh Spirit. No, I don't mind seeing Philly fall on their face. But back to Dart and Scataboo for just a second.
Scataboo.
I'm going to temper everything I'm about to say with yes. They've looked good so far. They've looked good in moments. A great game from both of them last night. Like you said, Scataboo's hard not to root for when he goes on the post-game show and rips his shirt off Hulk Hogan style and bare chest bumps Fitzpatrick and all that. I wouldn't have hated if either one of those guys was a Pittsburgh Steeler and they had a chance.
I hate that. That makes me upset. You know why? Because it makes me upset.
Do that again? What's that move?
It makes me upset because no matter what happens, the Steelers could have had Jackson Dart. Oh, the Steelers could have had Cam Scott. They could have had this. Could have had this. Nobody ever says, boy, the Steelers could have had David Njoku instead of TJ Watt. You know, nobody ever goes that degree of it, you know?
Well, you just did.
I guess they couldn't have because they picked him before that. But what I'm saying,
I generally hate that idea too.
It kills me.
I generally hate the idea of going and looking at a successful player and then looking at who the Steelers took like 5 or 8 picks in front of that player. I generally detest that idea too. But would you necessarily have a problem with the Steelers having Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo instead of Derek Harmon and Caleb Johnson right now?
I can't answer that right now because, you know, we thought Kenny Pickett was the second coming, too, until he wasn't.
I never did, but that's here nor there.
Well, Jackson Dart, I mean, he's better than many anticipated, but it's only been, what does he play, 3 games? And one of them he sucked at? So I would just say slow down a little, that's all. I'm not saying he's not going to be good. Just slow down a little.
Second rookie duo in NFL history to each have 50-plus rushing yards in the same game 3 times already, Dart and Scataboo. So they're flying high in New York today, as well they should. They beat the defending Super Bowl champs, and who knows what the rest of the season is going to look like. And poor Russ got out there for a couple plays and got booed right off the field. And like I said, Daboll nearly dragged Dart out of the tent himself. We'll get to Steelers-Browns in just a second. We all know that's exactly what you're here for. But first, we've got to thank our guy, Arch. Down at Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. And, of course, wings. Every Monday through Thursday night, they got 80-cent wings. Great sandwiches, burgers, and pizzas, too. The whole menu is phenomenal. And, of course, daily drink specials. Friday, $2 you call it, as well as Saturday and Sunday. The perfect place to watch all the games, college and pro. We might head down there tonight and get some wings, Kaboom.
Who's Penn State playing this weekend?
Northwestern.
The Fighting Ron Cooks?
Yeah.
So they're playing the worst. They lost to the worst team in FBS, and now they're playing the
I love to drop it in every time you mention Cookie.
And now they're going to play the second worst team in FBS.
Yeah, Northwestern sucks.
Penn State's just freaking great.
I didn't say they were, man. Look, why you got to drag this out of me?
Oh, we're talking about Archie. We're talking about Arch Wings and watching some Pitt. Pitt's probably going to get the boat race, as the young kids like to say.
Who does Pitt have this
week? Florida State.
Who?
Florida State.
Oh, that's right. It's Florida State. I don't know. I'll be honest. That freshman, that 18-year-old quarterback, look, I know it was against Boston College. But, like, we haven't mentioned it yet, so despite all my Penn State moaning and whining and bitching and complaining, I should mention Pitt absolutely ripped the titties off of Boston College last weekend. And that quarterback looked really good in doing so.
Yeah. I walked past Eli Holstein yesterday.
How's he doing?
First thing I'm thinking is two things thought of me. I thought real quickly was like, I wonder if he saw me ripping on him for making $1.8 million and being a bench guy. And the second thought is, shit, he got $1.8 million.
I should ask him for a couple bucks. He's not using it sitting on the bench. So let's talk Steelers-Browns. I thought Aaron Rodgers had a really interesting response when he was asked the other day about the rivalries in the AFC North. He gave a big, long, rambling answer talking about the Packers rivalries when he was in Green Bay, obviously, with the Vikings, the Bears, and to a lesser extent, the Lions, because the Lions sucked a lot while he was in Green Bay. And he talked about talking to Patrick Queen about AFC North rivalries.
With this, the kind of the rivalry is with the Browns, and the hatred goes, you know, both ways between Steelers, Bengals, and Steelers, Ravens.
So you said there's no hatred with Browns?
Not according to PQ, but he's the one guy I've really talked to about it.
So he says something there.
Kind of, under the bus. What the hell?
Who's he throwing under the bus?
Yeah, Queen said the Browns suck or not, no good.
He didn't say the Browns suck. He just said the rivalries in the AFC North aren't quite the same between everybody in the Browns as they are between everybody, the other three teams. And look, we've been saying this for years. The 2020 wild card game aside, like, he's not wrong. I mean, I don't think we really look at the Browns the same way maybe our parents' generation did. Or, like, it just... They are, hold on, I wrote the number down. I want to make sure I get it right.
Parents' generation, my generation to the degree, early part of my football watching career, it's like
that's
Steelers
true.
Couldn't beat them. They couldn't beat them.
Kozar, yes. And Newsom and Beiner. And yeah, you're right. When we were kids in the 80s, the Steelers did struggle with the Browns, 80s, early 90s. But I just don't think it's the same because the Browns have sucked for so long. For the most part, they're 2-24 all time at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. But then people like Rick on YouTube say, yes, we hate the Brownies. I don't know. Do you think fans hate the Browns as much as they hate the Ravens or even the Bengals?
Oh, trust me. If they lose to the Browns, they'll surely hate them.
Sure.
I mean,
I don't know. They won't hate the Browns. They'll hate Mike Tomlin.
I would say, yeah, I mean, I think they're just the close proximity. What is it, 2.5 hours drive?
If
makes
that.
You hate everything about Cleveland. So, yeah, I think even if they do, they haven't won. But you have to be able to win to make it a rivalry. And for the unless you're the Steelers, Baltimore, that could be 2-5-11 teams, and those teams are going to like try to slit each other's throat. There was that little span of Steelers-Bengals being a top rival back during the Ben A.B. Brown era.
Vontaze Perfect. Yep.
Yeah, but mostly you have to win. You can't lose 21 straight regular season games at Acrisure Stadium. I call it Acrisure, even though they just spent, what, $6.8 million on seats? Something like that.
Still Heinz.
And why do they need a new field? Better yet, where are they going to put a new stadium? But whatever.
Why are you getting what?
Well, we were talking about Acrisure Stadium. Well, they're talking about potentially building a new stadium.
Who seriously thought bringing that up? Right?
Somebody on the freaking Pittsburgh Council. Who the hell knows?
They got bigger issues.
Where would you put it at?
I don't know. That's it's not what we're here talking about.
What was I talking about? Yeah.
How the Browns just aren't. It's not on the same level.
You can't lose 21 straight games and consider anything a rivalry rather than it just be a joke. I mean, honestly, even that playoff game that they did lose here obviously hurt them. And that's the only thing the Browns have to hang their hat on right now. But you can't lose 21 straight games and say, okay, where's a good rival?
Yeah, and you can't just be what the Browns are outside of a couple of good years from Baker Mayfield, and the 2020 year is included. They just haven't been competitive. It's like, I'll make this comparison for Pittsburgh fans, for those of us that have grown up and only seen six decent seasons out of the Pittsburgh Pirates in our lifetime. it's kind of like the Pirates and the Cardinals in the mid 20 teens, right? Like I've always disliked the Cardinals. I know you're a big, you know, huge St. Louis Cardinals fan over there.
Huge monster.
But I've always hated the Cardinals because they've always had the Pirates number. A lot of people have had the Pirates number. That's not the point. The point is, even when the Pirates were good for a couple years there, the Cardinals were the team that you had to beat to get over the hump. And I think that's the way a lot of Browns fans look at the Steelers, the team that's consistently competitive and good, and our team can't get out of their own way, and they're paying 8 quarterbacks this year, and we just want to sniff them. We just want to be in the same neighborhood with them. And so I do. I make the comparison between like the mid-20 teens Pirates and Cardinals.
I mean, it's not like...
But this is longer than a few years. This is decades now.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned being a Browns fan, and you just gave away your starting quarterback week one to your division rival just for the heck of it. I mean, you got nothing for it.
A useless cornerback trade in the middle of the week, too.
I mean,
they basically swapped young, disappointing corners with Jacksonville.
Yeah, but still, he's still one of their was one of their better players on defense. And now you're just dumping him midweek of your rivalry game against the Steelers. What are they trying to do here?
They just don't feel like a serious organization.
No, then you have this whole Shedeur Sanders, the owner getting involved, potentially making them draft him. But now you're bringing up Bailey Zappe. You have to bring Bailey Zappe up. He has to be the number two. He can't be the number three. So Shedeur is going to get upset. I mean, what are we talking about here? It's just awful that's happening in Cleveland. And I do feel bad. I truly say this from the heart. I feel bad for Cleveland Browns fans because they've pretty much packed that freaking stadium, and they're Browns all the time up there, man, and they have zero to root for. That's sort of like having the Pirates having, you know, sellouts every single game. It's like, why? They're just going to lose and break your heart. Browns fans keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back.
I don't know if I feel that bad for fans in Cleveland, though.
I do.
They've had the Guardians / Indians, and they've been competitive.
Browns fans, not Cleveland fans.
Well, if you're a Browns fan, you're probably a fan of the Guardians / Indians, too, right? Like, you just are. It's like being in Pittsburgh. If you're a Steelers fan, you're probably a Pirates fan. Like it or not, you probably
are. I'm a huge Penguins fan, yeah.
Why do you hate? So much hate in your heart, and I don't understand why.
Now Penguins are good. We're so happy the Penguins are going to tank. Now they're 2-0. It's like, we can make the playoffs.
I don't know if anybody's going to go that far. Maybe. It's the NHL. More than half the team.
You see the great Donnie Football yesterday's tweet?
No, I did not.
Who was the guy that scored for the Penguins? I can't pronounce it.
Brazeau?
Yeah, and he accidentally typed Brazzers.
Oh, that's so a hell of an autocorrect right there.
So apparently there's like shirts being made already about it. Brazzers.
Oh, that is such a self-indictment when your autocorrect puts Brazzers instead of Brazzeau.
Yeah, sort of like, I think it wasn't that Whitlock one time ripping on ESPN for those pop-up ads, and they were all like, oh, shit.
What'd you do?
I just dropped my camera.
No, the camera's fine. You dropped your fancy ring light.
Yeah, it doesn't work very well. I don't have a fancy one like you.
What did Whitlock do?
He was ripping on ESPN for putting up ads. I don't know if it was pornographic sites or whatever, and he didn't realize that it was just like the Google-generated
algorithm
ones. Yeah.
That's amazing. Let's talk about this actual game here for a couple minutes and ways it could go right or wrong. But first, let's thank our friends at Higgins Professional Painting. They've been doing it for 4 decades. They've been painting people's homes and businesses around the Pittsburgh area as long as the Steelers have been beating the Brownies, even longer. And they can do interior, exterior at your home. You want to get a fresh coat of paint on the outside, increase the curb appeal. You want to get some work done inside, they'll come in and give you a color consultation either way, tell you what they think looks best in your neighborhood and for your home, given what you want to get done. Like I said, they can do commercial and industrial painting too. They'll do the drywall repair. if you got kids like we do, there's nicks and dents in the walls. You want to get those fixed up before you get everything painted. They'll do all that. They do a fantastic job. Get a hold of them today if you're ready to talk about a project for your home. They'll get you a free estimate, 412-344-0480, or just go to HigginsProfessional.com. We appreciate them supporting the show, the program. They'll be at Kaboom's Haas shortly doing some painting.
I think next week. But, you know, speaking of that, I just looked in my kitchen right before I came down here, and I'm like, where did that dent in the wall come from? I have no idea. Huh? Where did this come from?
Every once in a while, I'll notice a new one in the wall. It's like, I got kids. Yeah. They do stupid stuff, and then there's a dent in the wall.
Yeah, I'm not very good at the spackling.
No. It always ends up looking worse after the fact. It just looks like somebody put a lump on the wall. I'm not a drywall guy. I'm not. That's why you call Higgins.
I'm not an anything guy.
You're a football guy, Kaboom. Gosh. What are you talking about? The one thing I do want to see
I'm a social influencer.
Yeah, that's exactly what you are. You're a content creator.
Content creator.
The one thing I do think they need to focus on, and I know I've beat this dead horse, but Spencer Anderson actually got a fair amount of attention in the locker room the other day and just talked about how good it felt being out there with the rest of the offensive line getting things done in the run game.
Gain confidence in their Vikings game.
Absolutely.
It looked like by the end of the whole group.
We were having fun out there. We were coming on the sideline, having fun.
Cool.
Just getting back to what we know.
All right, Spence.
Our brain of ball. You know, we had a couple of successful runs.
And Spencer Anderson, fellas.
2 weeks ago, how he was. I felt like we kind of took off in the game.
Why are you talking all over him?
Because he wasn't showing up on my screen.
It showed up. Don't worry. People saw it. They heard what you weren't talking
about. There
ain't
no way. It was totally blank on my screen.
Nope. It was working. Your computer's just being dick this morning.
I don't know about that. What did he say then?
He talked about how they started to feel good because they were getting things going in the run game against Minnesota with that jumbo package. And then Aaron Rodgers was asked about it as well.
A fair amount the last game. Where did you see some of the benefits in terms of bringing in Spencer Anderson?
That's a question for our coordinator. But I love Spence in the huddle. Would love to throw him a touchdown pass. He's got pretty good hands.
That was a pretty interesting little "that's a question for our coordinator" response from Rodgers.
A lot of people go to that. But Spencer Anderson said that he does not have any calls in the book for him.
But then... Aaron kind of alluded to something there. I think that might just be Rodgers, you know, doing his thing, trying to keep people on their toes.
You know what the problem is if we want to read something into it, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but if you do heavy tight end set, extra lineman takes away the eligibles, that then prevents him to potentially throwing the ball down the field. So that's the case. I mean, you bring in 5, 6, 7 guys line of scrimmage, maybe a fullback, 8. You don't have many people to throw it to here. It's sort of run the ball or.
But if the opposing defense, and Rodgers keeps repeating this and has really since training camp, if the opposing defense is playing cover 2 high safeties, you're not really taking a lot of shots downfield anyway.
You know, there's a way to get him out of that. Run the ball.
Run the ball.
Run the ball with traditional personnel.
But if your traditional personnel aren't getting it done in the run game, then you beat the opposition over the head with 6 offensive linemen and Darnell Washington. I'm okay with that.
I am curious to see what Jaylen Warren, a healthy Jaylen Warren, looks like with this jumbo package. It might be better.
That's if you're a defensive lineman working your way through a brick wall and then having to tackle a bowling ball.
Oh yeah. I mean,
have fun with that.
Apparently he could have played in Minnesota. They were just being super cautious, which is fine. He's looked fine all week. So I anticipate him getting back to the normal amount of reps, and I'd like to see him. Of all the people, all 3 of their running backs, he's the guy that could probably can break the long run more than even Kenny Gainwell. I mean, he's shown that before. So I'd like to see some of that, some big runs, some break through the line of scrimmage and boom, he's in the secondary and runs some people over, runs around some people. So I'm curious of how that really lines up. We saw it work with Gainwell.
Right.
I would assume that it works better with Warren, but I'd like to see it. I think we will. We definitely will.
And I don't, again, back to my original point, and I don't know if I'm the only person that feels this way, but I don't care how many guys you got to put on the line to get that done. I don't, especially against the Browns front seven. Fine, put six guys on the line and put Darnell Washington out there. Protect yourself against Garrett. Get the ball rolling downhill in the run game. And then the play action can work off of that, even if Washington's in there. And the thing that comes back, and I hear everybody talking about it, there's people in the comments asking about it. Our friend Mark Malone didn't quite spell Jonnu Smith correctly, but he was close. People start saying, what's up with Freiermuth? What's up with Jonnu? Well, you know what? If I'm running the ball downhill at 4.5, 5 yards a clip, and I've got another tight end who's in there who can catch the ball, like Darnell, then I'm not worried about it. Not that I got anything against Jonnu or Muth, but like if that's effective and that's moving the ball and you don't have big plays available to you, but you can run downhill and put together a 10 or 11 play drive out of it, then occasionally mix a play action in there to one of the tight ends, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we'll always have something to complain about because you're not going to get the ball to everybody, right? If all of a sudden Freiermuth and Jonnu, big part of the play, then, you know, maybe the run game is not there. Maybe Metcalf is not there. So why are we getting the ball to Metcalf? That was week one and two. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you running the ball more with Jaylen Warren early in the season as well? You're always going to find that open space of be able to say, but what about this? But what about this? Mm-hmm. Trust me, there's going to come a time. It's going to become a time probably quite soon, maybe not this week, that they're going to need Freiermuth, they're going to need Jonnu Smith, and they're going to come up with big games. You know, that's just the way it's going to happen. And I like how the Steelers are going about it, man. You know what? Okay, I don't care about this guy. I don't care how much we're paying this guy. I don't care what we're paying this guy. I don't care if he's a one. Whatever we think's going to win this game,
yes,
that's what we're doing.
And that's why I don't have a problem with it. Like, to your point, when you have this many weapons, and we keep talking about the tight ends because they went out and got Jonnu. They got DK. There's Freiermuth, obviously. Kenny G, Jaylen Warren, Darnell. I know Austin's out, and we have no idea if they'll even use a second wide receiver this week. We'll see what that looks like. But my point is, when you've got all these weapons at your disposal, there are going to be weeks where some guys don't get what you feel like is a decent target share. I'm okay if you win the game. I don't care how you win the game. Just win the game. And it kind of comes back on a point I made way back, I want to say before the season started or maybe early in the season, which was don't tell me that you're always focused on what you do well and you're not worried about the opposition. Worry about what the opposition does well and then exploit what they can't do and attack certain things on the other side of the ball that you know you can win at. And I think they can win when they get that jumbo set out there and they're running downhill. And I don't care if it's ugly and it's 17-13 or whatever. Get out there and do what works. Get the W and move on, especially when you got another game 4 days later.
Especially now with in this particular game right here where Myles Garrett could be a game wrecker. He moves around a lot. So if you put the extra – tackle on one side and throwing on Washington on the other side, what are you going to do, Miles? I mean, that severely limits of what you're able to do. So that's probably why that's going to happen. I mean, I don't know how the receiving crew is going to roll out right now. I mean, I've loved what I've seen from Roman Wilson past couple days, past week, but that means nothing to me right now. I mean,
well, yeah, your opinion for some reason doesn't carry weight in the offense.
No, honestly, you can see who looks good and who doesn't look good. And I mean, I think Roman Wilson looks good, but doesn't mean he's going to play. I think Freiermuth is going to have, it's still a valuable commodity to this team and always will be, but doesn't mean he's going to get 18 catches this week. It might come next week. I like the fact that they have options, and that's what they have right now.
Mark Malone once again chiming in on YouTube. Why not have Jonnu in the slot with no Calvin Austin? I mean, maybe that's something they're cooking up because they do have a couple of tight ends in Smith and Freiermuth.
I would probably say no.
You think we're going to get our fair share of Skowronek and Miller this week?
I think you're going to get your fair share of...
Not Roman Wilson.
It could be Roman Wilson. I am writing a story. I had an interesting conversation with him yesterday.
Why are you shaking your head?
Because it's... You ever hear that term? And I use this in the story. It's like getting blood from a rock.
Yeah, squeezing blood from a stone, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Very similar. But he just doesn't want to stir up the shit.
Who doesn't?
Roman. That's how I took it. Okay. I mean, he's not going to sit here and rip on people. I think this whole team is winning in 3-1 right now. You're not going to get four or five guys being those guys that once they got rid of last year and the year before that. They don't want to turn into those guys, so they're shutting their mouths.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I will say this. As much as I want to see Roman Wilson out on the field and getting a chance to produce, I also don't care if they win without throwing him the ball. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Well, it's... In this city, we all tend to care what's happening next year, not this year. So,
not like, right now. We start 3-1. I'm not worried about next year. I'm worried about the next
third round
5 days.
I'm surprised we haven't come up with who they could have drafted instead of Roman Wilson list yet.
Oh, do you want to do that?
No,
I don't either.
I think Roman Wilson is very talented.
I think he is too. But talented. I mean, if there's no room for a guy in the offense, the way the offense is built. I mean, name the number two wide receiver for most Arthur Smith offenses over the years. Good luck. Not a lot of memorable names there. They don't get the football a lot.
Well, I remember them telling us how – I remember Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Smith talking about how great this tight end room is and how much of a difference maker they're going to be, and that's yet to happen. So.
Yet. Yet, yeah, like you said.
Yeah, definitely a yet. I'm definitely putting
there's
yet.
13 games left. 13 games left. But if this is what's working now is running the ball with extra offensive linemen in there and Darnell Washington, then I do it. If that's what wins me the game, that's what I do that week. Yeah, and then on to the next one.
I try to get the ball. I mean, Roman Wilson's played 45 career snaps. He has 3 career targets. He has 1 career catch, I think. I think we saw enough of him in April, May, and August to say that he's better than that.
Yeah, he is, but they just don't have the opportunity yet to get him the ball because it's not the way the offense is built. Thanks to our friends at Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show. New promotions going on through October. If you're like me, you got a teenage daughter who's going to a homecoming dance. They want to get their nails done. Go book it online right now. You can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by going to nailstudio2.com, Nail Studio II. It's a Roman numeral, nailstudio2.com, or giving them a call at 724-941-4595. 15% off all services for students for homecoming. And if mom takes them in, they'll get 15% off as well. New clients, 15% off for a limited time as well at Nail Studio 2. Check out the new refresh they've got going on. They've remodeled the place. It looks great. Check out their website while you're booking online, nailstudio2.com. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. As for the other side of the ball, Kaboom, this, I don't want to say it flew under the radar because we talked about it when we did the post-game show from Odd at Pittsburgh Brewing, having a couple ice-cold IC lights while we were talking about the win over the Vikings. But Cam Hayward was asked about one guy who stepped up in that game.
Responded with maybe one of his best games.
Yeah.
Against the Vikings. What kind of improvement?
Well, I thought he would have had more sacks. But
did he?
TJ's the sack merchant out here stealing. But no, I thought he played really good. Was very active. Used a lot of different pass rushes. And, you know, week in and week out, different guys are going to be challenged. You know, we got a lot of one-on-one blocks, and I thought he took advantage.
Why do you think it clicked for him?
You know, that's more of a question for him. I think, you know, I think he just attacked and, you know, got better. And, you know, took advantage of his opportunities. You know, sometimes it's just about, you know, slamming the door shut and, you know, finishing those plays. And he was able to do that.
Talking about Keanu Benton there, who had a really good game against Minnesota.
Kind of helps when you play against shit interior offensive linemen, huh?
It does, and the Vikings had a bunch of backup offensive linemen in that game, especially after a couple injuries early and injuries going into that game.
He was more aggressive, though. Do you notice he was more aggressive? At least it seemed like it.
I thought so. And after Derek Harmon's game the week before that, I'm starting to feel a little bit better about the Steelers' defensive front. I'm not quite all the way back to where I'm not concerned that teams that want to are still going to try to run the ball on them, like I imagine the Browns will try to do this weekend with Judkins. And that interior offensive line is strong as well. I think that's what the Browns will try to do. I imagine, especially when they can work play action off of it to the tight ends, that's what Cleveland should try to do. If I see the Steelers, especially Benton and Harmon and Hayward included, shut down the Browns running game and make some noise in the backfield, I'll be another baby step closer to feeling good about this defensive front after the way they went out last year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to double anybody, it's not going to be Benton right now, right?
Right.
At least I don't think so, unless you're just trying to run the ball up the gut like that. So
you're going to be focused on Cam and TJ and Highsmith and Herbig.
So you're going to have a lot of one-on-one opportunities. Maybe he's getting healthy, too. He was banged up for a little bit of while, too. He had shoulder problems and whatever problems. So, I mean, don't discount looking to his right and saying, oh, this guy's showing me up here a little bit, too. You know, Derek Harmon, so I'm going to better pick up my game here a little bit. They talk about competition, right?
Iron sharpens iron, kaboom.
You have that competition over there that says, okay, this guy's like showing me up. Not showing me up on purpose, but how he plays, I better pick up my shit. So I think every football coach believes that. And I think you're seeing a lot of competition.
Well, the other thing they did too, and maybe it just compounded the struggles of the Vikings offensive line, but it did feel like they were running some more like stunts and stuff and twists up front where they were getting guys better angles into the backfield where it wasn't just pop up off the ball and try to steamroll the guy in front of you. It was, no, we're going to run a little twist here. We're going to bring maybe Elliott off the edge, or we're going to bring Queen from the inside, or maybe twist him around. There was a lot more in the Steelers pass rush game against the Vikings,
but
that was very creative.
But look at the quarterbacks they've played, week 1 and 3. They're not conducive to stunting. You don't want to get out of your lane and let Justin Fields step up into it. You don't want Drake May to do the same thing. Who was week 2? I can't remember. Seattle.
Darnold.
He can move a little bit. So I think Carson Wentz was the more statuesque of the quarterbacks they've played so far.
Well, where's Gabriel fall on that?
Probably. He probably moves around, right?
He can move around a little bit better, I think, than Wentz or Darnold, but he's not on the field's end of the spectrum where as soon as the pocket breaks down, he's going to look to take off, I don't think.
No. What you're going to see Sunday, you're going to see a lot of knockdown passes. You're going to see a lot of floaters. You're going to see a lot of throws, quick throws to tight ends. I think that's how they're going to try to win this game. But I feel Steelers are going to have to help it out tremendously for them to win this game. For the Browns to win, they're going to have to do one of those.
So the Browns can't win it. The Steelers have to lose it.
It's going to have to be like the Patriots game, you know. Steelers are going to have to turn the ball over 5 times. I just can't see them coming up blow to blow and just outplaying them.
I have a hard time seeing it too, especially 26-6 or whatever it is against rookie quarterbacks during Tomlin's tenure.
14-4 bye weeks, 21 in a row.
All the numbers stack up that this would be all the people that talk about Tomlin specials This would be their classic evidence of a Tomlin special if the Steelers came out and dropped one at home to the Browns. The Browns are back, just back home from London, and the Steelers are off a bye week.
Yeah. You just traded your cornerback, and you just traded your quarterback, and nothing's going right. Your quarterback, your backup, third-string quarterback's holding press conferences where he doesn't even speak words. I mean, it's just a mess.
Is he the backup or the third string now? What is Shador?
I think he has to be the third string if they
– They brought in Zappy.
You can't elevate a practice squad player to make him the emergency quarterback. So he has to technically be two if they elevate him.
Zappy, that is.
Yeah, so that's why Shador would be three.
They are now paying, I think I mentioned this earlier, 8 quarterbacks this year.
Yeah. 8. Wait till Deshaun comes back. Deshaun.
I saw our girl Mary Kay Cabot up in Cleveland wrote, I think earlier this week, or said it somewhere, she wouldn't be surprised if Deshaun Watson gets snaps by the end of the year.
There's so many massage jokes you can make, but I won't.
You're not going to?
No.
You're going to be the... It's never stopped us before.
Brian Garrett, man. He must never heard the guy named Lamar Woodley.
Oh, well, Brian's always effusively positive about everything, so we appreciate his comments nonetheless. Coley did make a good point on the YouTube chat as well. It feels like since Harmon got inserted into the lineup, the defensive front has played much better. I'm not just putting that on Derek Harmon alone. Like you said, some of it may be Benton feels like he's got to show out a little bit more and actually show up because Harmon might be, you know, showing him up. But for whatever reason, since Harmon got inserted into the lineup, the defensive line has looked better. It's a good point.
Oh, you see the breaking news?
No.
The old New York Giants could be in trouble.
What happened?
Forcing Dart back into the game. Percussion protocol crap.
Ooh. I told you, Daboll was going all Bud Kilmer there, yelling at the doctor, going into the tent.
If that needle gets anywhere near him.
I knew if that needle goes anywhere near Wendell's knee, rip your arms off and beat you to death with. That's fine. Tweeter will take the snaps.
No, I won't.
No, I won't, coach. But I knew as soon as I saw Daboll doing that, not just yelling at the doctor, but going back into the tent, I was like, this is going to be bad news for him. He's going to hear from the league about this. You can't go into the tent while they're trying to give him a concussion evaluation and be like, listen, Russ is killing us. It's only 2 plays, but I need you back out here.
Yeah, there might be some rules about that. Who's allowed in there too.
I mean, everybody and their brother was going in. Scataboo went in. Daboll went in. I mean, Daboll strikes me as a pretty big douche, I'll be honest.
Bud Kilmer. I think he was, you know what? I saw him at the owner's meeting or something. He was at an event. He seemed like a nice guy. He seems like a guy that's worried about the longevity of his job.
Seems like a wannabe hard ass.
Seems like an offensive coordinator to me.
Maybe that's all he'll ever be. But anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, Harmon on the defensive line. I think that is a really good point that since he's got healthy and got into the lineup, it's helped them up front on defense.
Yeah. I mean, he's played well for a rookie that's missed a month. So I haven't really seen him make many mistakes. I haven't been really breaking it down to saying which is a mistake and which is good, but he seemed to be playing extremely well when he's out there. I like to see him improve the pass rush game a little bit, but that will come with time.
I was going to say, since you brought up the pass rush, how creative, you mentioned it the other day, and Herbig and Highsmith have all kind of backed this up in a way from what they've said throughout the week. Mm-hmm. How creative do you think they're going to get with the 3 outside backers on the field together, Watt, Highsmith, and Herbig? How do they do it? And how, like I said, because the creativity in the pass rush, like I mentioned against Minnesota, was a lot of what got in Wentz's kitchen. Vikings offensive line injuries aside, they still sacked the man six times. And I think some of it had to do with the fact that they got creative with the pressures.
Yeah, you're going to have to be in the right situations, though. There's going to have to be third and longs to be able to put the personnel out there that you want. But I wouldn't anticipate seeing Highsmith move around that much. I'm definitely see Herbig moving around in the middle and maybe occasionally Watt. But I think the chess piece of all would be Herbig. You're going to see him left, right, middle, wherever, on obviously passing downs, putting them in that situation where you know they're going to throw, they're forced to throw, and we're going to bring some crazy stuff at them.
The only thing I worry about in that regard is if you take, when you're taking someone else off the field, especially in the middle, and you're putting Herbig out there, it does make you more vulnerable in the middle of the field to the tight ends, which you were talking about earlier, in Njoku and Fannin. And if those... I've had perpetual nightmares for the last 20 years about opposing tight ends gashing the Steelers' defense in the middle of the field, because it seems to happen more often than not. And that could be an issue if Patrick Queen is all alone in the middle of the field because they take Wilson off, and now Patrick Queen is trying to run sideline to sideline covering two tight ends at once.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have a plan for that as well. Maybe they keep both the inside backers in, take out both of your interior guys of Harmon and Benton, and play Queen more of a deep cover linebacker. Who knows? I think they're quite aware of the shortcomings of trying to force those guys to have cover multiple guys. Where it's going to be interesting is does Cole Holcomb have his one day in the sun and done, which was in New England, or is Peyton Wilson back on the good graces where we can trust him in the full scope of the defense, which is the pass rush and obvious, not pass rush, the run defense and being able to cover the tight ends.
Given how much he was talked about in the offseason and training camp, I'm pretty disappointed with what we've had from Peyton Wilson so far. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he played well against Minnesota. He played really well against Minnesota. He had an iffy start to maybe New England, but I don't see it was terrible.
All right. We'll see how it goes this weekend. I want to thank our friends at Impact HVAC for continuing to support the show. We appreciate them. Frost out there on the ground the last couple of days. Pretty soon it's going to be chilly out every morning and all day long. You know how it works. You're going to want to fire up the furnace. Have them come out and give it a check before you have to do so. They'll tell you if everything's cooking and ready to go, or if you need any repairs or maintenance done, or hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, something else needs to be done. Maybe a full-on repair or replacement. They'll take care of you. Check them out on Facebook. You can message them there at Impact HVAC PGH, or just give them a call, 412-297-1852. They'll take care of you before the cold gets here. Get that furnace checked out. It's with Impact HVAC, again, on Facebook, at Impact HVAC.
We're going to have to ask them, do they do anything with the fireplace, the old gas fireplaces?
I don't know. You should ask them.
Mine was really bad last year. Started leaking, and the whole house smelled like gas.
You can't have that, man.
And I had to have some emergency people come in and shut it off and do everything about it. I wonder if they do. I mean, gas, furnace, fireplace, what's the difference, right?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Gas fireplace. Here. Gas fireplace.
Yeah, plenty of gas in your house.
Oh, I turned that gas fireplace on, baby. I don't even need to turn on my furnace until January.
Yeah, when it gets cooking, it's nice, nice and toasty. One more quick note about the defense, because I saw it asked about in the chat by our guy Slammy. What's Ramsey's status? I know Ramsey, we shouldn't expect him to play Sunday, or probably not Thursday as well, but maybe back for the Packers game?
I mean, it sounds good, because, you know, I did my eavesdropping, my creeping around yesterday, and I was in the locker room. I don't even know what I was waiting for. Maybe Skoronic. I can't remember. Creep. Of all things. And Tomlin came in, pointed at Ramsey, said, good day out there. Good day today. He goes, get back at it tomorrow. Really liked it. I'm like, it was just rehab.
Yeah.
So for him just to say that, I mean, out in the open right around all of us, I mean, leads me to believe that it doesn't look like it's going to be long, long, long term. Now, Calvin Austin?
Not so much.
Once again, creeping around, man. That shoulder looks like it's hurting me.
Really? He got one of those big braces on?
No, he doesn't have any brace on. It just looks like it's kind of tight. He could be, I mean, he in my opinion, he's at least Green Bay, if not further. But
if not later. Okay. Not,
unless, you know, who knows? Does maybe that you open get to up, a point where you get a shot. I don't know. I don't.
Does that open up the possibility? If we're talking about Green Bay or later, and they do get to a point where they realize that Skowronek and Miller aren't going to cut it as the other options in the receiving core. We're talking about the trade deadline is week 9, I think it is. So it would be after the Packers game, right?
Right, a week after the Indy game. Week after Halloween, whenever that is.
Okay, so do you think they'll take a look around?
Yeah, I think they definitely will.
Just poking around. Poking around, kaboom.
Well, let's put this in perspective right now. You got Miller and Skowronek, two journeyman veteran that, you know, you can rely on in a pinch, but you probably don't want them out there 100% of the time. You got Roman Wilson, where you just don't know what's going on right there. And if he doesn't step up or have any opportunities in these next 2 weeks, how can you count on that? And then you got Calvin Austin, who's now had two injuries in a span of 2 months. You got to protect yourself. So I would imagine that Omar would be hitting the phones pretty hard. Doesn't mean
wouldn't be anything crazy, though, would it?
I mean, what would we consider crazy? AJ Brown? Is that what you're saying? Crazy?
No. No. The Eagles aren't trading AJ Brown.
That's what I'm saying. What are we talking about? Crazy?
I don't know. You tell me.
Gabe Davis? Isn't he on somebody's practice squad?
Oh, okay. Maybe he's finally healthy.
I would imagine they would go look. You, once again, you have to look at the teams that are pretty much done by then.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help.
There could be a fair number of teams.
Well, it didn't help New Orleans won last week. So maybe somewhere in Miami. Miami's probably ready to jettison some players. But you think they're going to give up a Jalen Waddle? No.
Little Jacoby Myers in Vegas level action.
It's another one too. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It all depends. You call up and you see, and now if it's too rich for your blood, it's too rich for your blood. We saw what happened when they made the trade for Mike Williams last year. That was kind of worthless.
Yeah, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to use the guy either. We got to get to picks in a second here, but you brought it up. You were all Mr. Negativity. The Penguins won again last night. They're 2-0.
Jeez, I didn't watch that crap.
Mario Lemieux was in the Haas.
Legend.
Went down to the locker room afterwards.
Did he have to, like, get a press pass and okay from the Fenway group to actually show up?
I don't know. But it sounds like he and Burkle are still interested in making a move.
Sniffing around. They're
still sniffing around. Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, it sounds like the other bunch, I can't remember their names now. We should just have Yowie on standby for things like this. But it sounds like the other group that is interested in buying the team may not quite have, what do we call it? The
cash flow.
The capitalization. The Hoffman family may not have quite the capitalization necessary. Although that might be an issue with Lemieux and Barkle too, but it's nice to see Mario in the barn.
Yeah. When was the last time he's been there?
It's been a while. Got a standing O last night.
Let me ask you this one.
Let me real quick. Those jerseys are an abomination. I like the color. I like the gold helmet. Okay. But the letters and the numbers look just like the Nashville Predators. Just stop it with the third jerseys. Just stop it for a while.
Yeah, I'll remind you that in Green Bay game coming up with those third jerseys. Right. Let me ask you something.
Wear those stupid throwbacks against Green Bay, aren't they?
Do you think – how old is your kid? 12, 13?
12. 12? He'll be 13 in April.
is how aware of Mario Lemieux is he? Does he know? He
probably doesn't even know who he is.
That's what my point was getting at. At what point does he just turn into this some old dude that used to play for the Penguins?
That's sad. That makes me sad.
Oh, yeah, that's your job as a father.
I got to sit him down this weekend and show him some old Mario clips.
Show him that North Stars game, 91.
Yep.
John Casey.
Blackhawk series.
Yep. Five goals.
Five ways on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Pointing at Madden. Face off off the – what did he do? Didn't he score a goal off a face off or something?
That's when he pointed at Madden. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's your job. It's your job to educate the young lad.
Well, you need to educate yours.
I educate him. I said, don't watch hockey. No, I did say the other day, hey, you want to play hockey? He goes, no. I'm like, okay.
My kid tried it for a year. And I figured out he wasn't totally into it when I literally had to, like, drag him away from the ice one day. He just stood at the door and refused to get on the ice. And I said, if you're not going to get on the ice, we're just going to leave. But he didn't want to. So I had to drag him back to the locker room, have him take his skates off.
The great Phil Maines, his kids are big hockey stars. Phil's one of those hockey dads.
His daughter's excellent at soccer.
I know he does the old road trips to, going to Buffalo for a hockey tournament. It's like,
yeah. There you go. I'm not jealous of that, having to drive to places like Buffalo every couple of weeks during the hockey season.
I got pissed when they moved my kids' baseball games from Maury to 885 Park.
I heard you're pretty active in the Game Changer chat. I've heard.
I'm not active. I was just.
Oh, no. I've heard you're pretty active.
I said, no, yesterday or 2 days ago, I said, are you going to make up these games? That's all I said.
I heard you're active.
Am I not?
We going to make up this practice? We going to make up this game? What's going on? No.
I just wanted to know, there was two games canceled in a row. I said, are these games being made up? Because our last year, when he played for some other community,
yeah, when you were a carpetbagger and had him driving all the way to Glassport to play baseball.
So they weren't making up anything, and it pissed me off. So I was curious to see if they actually made up fall ball games. And, you know, we take things seriously in Thomas Jefferson. Even though my kid won't swing the bat.
It's freaking 9-year-old.
Oh, he wants to get the kid out there and play, man.
Pump your brakes.
I'm pumping my brakes. Get out there and play. You don't understand. You don't have an 8-year-old that comes home and watches wrestling, watching YouTubers talk about wrestling on YouTube. It's like, oh, it's so-and-so. It's like, yeah, this match. And the kid knows every match ever. Because he watches his old stuff.
Have him go out in the yard or out in the driveway and just shoot pucks at the neighbor that parks in front of your yard.
You're funny. They did pave his driveway. So,
also got to thank the Dan Heck team for being on board since the very beginning here on Cabali and Mac. We appreciate their support. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are looking to help take care of you. Every time I drive around town, I see another Heck team home sign up in somebody's yard. They're helping people get it done, move into the home of their dreams, move into a smaller house. If the kids are moving out, whatever your circumstance or situation is, they'll help you out. The Dan Heck team. Go to heckteamhomes.com, HAECK, heckteamhomes.com. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team. They're ready, willing, and able to help you get into the perfect home. We appreciate their support as well. All right, let's wrap it up with our picks for this week. Are you ready?
You know what? Now I think about it, it's a little too early.
What?
I'm gonna say, I got the old college refrigerator down here. I was going to go grab a mango, but it's a little too early for that.
Yeah, you got work to do the rest of the day, don't you?
Yeah, you're right.
You got to get up early for Crown Jewel.
Yeah, I'll probably just wait.
Wow. You're not going to get up and watch it at 8 in the morning or whatever? Crown Jewel. All right, let's make picks for the weekend. We both got Philly wrong. Everybody got that game wrong. There was nobody picking the Giants to win that game.
I just watched, Clay Travis has some kind of pick on show. I was just going around this morning.
Okay.
And it was a couple of days ago, and he had a couple, like a day ago, he had – The Eagles is like the third best team in the NFL, and the Giants is the 29th best team.
Whoops.
I'm like, whoops.
Empire rankings didn't work out.
No.
All right. There is another early Sunday morning game in London this week. Broncos and Jets. Who are you taking?
The Jets.
Broncos. You hate
the Broncos. Yeah, but the Jets are just awful.
Yeah. So you can take Denver?
I don't hate the Broncos. I just hate their coach. So it's not like he's ever done anything to me, but I like the Broncos. Yes.
All right. So do I. Chargers in Miami against the Dolphins.
That's another two crap teams.
The Chargers are not a crap team. Yeah, their offensive line has been crap the last couple weeks because everybody's hurt.
What week we in? Week six.
Yeah.
Like
we don't play the spreads, but it's a 4.5-point spread.
Like I said, what has Justin Herbert ever won? Nothing.
You can take Miami?
No.
Okay, that's what I
think. Although, I mean, I don't even know who their running back is. Who is the Chargers running back?
It's Omarion Hampton.
I thought he got hurt.
He's not out this week, is he?
I thought he
Are you going to make me question
hurt.
Things now? You Doesn't matter. Know. I'm probably still taking the Chargers, but... Ooh, maybe he is. Oh, yeah, they did. They put him on injured reserve.
Where have you been?
Kamani Vidal, whoever the hell that is, that's who's been signed and put on the active roster. I don't know if that means they've got Nyheim Hines, too. Ooh, boy. Yeah, they're screwed.
So
should I take Miami?
I don't know. This is your chance.
I think I'm going to take Miami. I'm going to regret it later.
Yes.
But I'm changing my pick to the Dolphins. You convinced me.
I convince you. I'm picking the Chargers.
Mental war games by you. Patriots in New Orleans against the Saints.
In New Orleans?
Yep.
You're looking for that letdown, aren't you? I'm looking for a letdown. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. It's not going to happen. Patriots.
You're going to take New England?
Yeah.
I'm on New Orleans. Because I don't believe in Vrabel. All right, here we go. Big one. Rams, Ravens in Baltimore. No Lamar. The Ravens are a disaster. They're falling to pieces. Rams may be the second best team in the NFC.
Are they?
Maybe.
I think this game will be closer than what we think.
Okay.
But I just don't think that they have enough healthy players to be able to win this game.
Ravens got the Rams?
Lose. Yeah.
Yeah, I got him too.
I think Stafford's just going to pick him apart too. And that's another thing.
7.5-point spread on that one. I'd be tempted to take the points.
I
can't see the Ravens losing by more than a touchdown at home. Although they just did last week. So who the hell am I? Cardinals visiting the Colts. We'll see if anybody fumbles the ball at the goal line again.
The Cardinals aren't as bad as what they say, think they are.
Are we sure about that?
They've won two games. They probably should be winning three games, right? If they had a running back, I would probably think. Is your buddy Encarnacion there? Is he out too? What's his name?
DeMercado, the guy
who left
the goal line. How did you go from DeMercado to Encarnacion and then mispronounce Encarnacion?
Give me the Colts. I think Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I got Indy as well. Yeah. All right, Seattle, Jacksonville. In Jacksonville.
Seattle.
Hot.
Why does Seattle always have to go like...
Because they're in Seattle.
Well,
there is no short trip from Seattle.
To Florida. Give me Seattle. They play well on the road on the East Coast. That's the East Coast. That's Southeast. So.
I have Seattle too. Dallas, Carolina, Rico Dowdle revenge game.
Dallas.
Carolina.
Carolina, you think Rico Dowdle is going to get 200 bills again?
No.
They were down, 17 points in that game?
And they came back
and play a horse shit team. Carolina should have got destroyed.
Dallas' defense is horse shit, too. I'll take Carolina in the upset. What is the spread on that one? It's only 3. Dallas only favored by 3 and on the road. All right, Tennessee, Vegas. If a tree falls in the forest, does this game really happen?
Tennessee, this is so bad.
You got gifted a game last week.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Vegas just because it's home.
Yeah, same
here.
Nothing
more than that.
That's another one. 4-point spread. San Francisco in Tampa. There's another long trip for you. Niners against the Bucs. I'll say it. This is a full-on Tampa Bay Buccaneers supporting show.
Yeah, but Godwin's, I think Godwin's out. Bucky Irving's out.
Guys were out last week. Baker still gets it done. MVP right now.
Guys giving off a 10-day rest.
He was like 66-1 to win MVP back in July. Baker Mayfield MVP season incoming.
I am a big Baker fan, like I said, and I think Tampa's good, but I am thinking the 49ers win this game.
Nope, I got Tampa. All right, Cincy Green Bay. Good Lord.
Cincy Green Bay.
In Wisconsin.
Can Flacco beat him twice? Didn't Flacco already beat him?
Yeah.
Flacco, I mean, how bad is it? And I don't know if this is true or not. Did you see the photo of Flacco riding coach of Southwest?
No.
I would think it could be AI or something or Photoshop.
It's got to be, right?
But then I think it's Cincinnati. Anything's possible. He doesn't even get off the plane, and they're like, you're the starter. That says a lot to me.
That looks like a real picture. That can't be real.
Why not? It's Cincinnati. That's why. Sometimes
you just, it's only a half-hour flight, Joe. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's no way Cincinnati wins this game.
No, I got the Packers, too. Sunday Night Football, Detroit at Arrowhead.
Boy, wow, we haven't seen Kansas City on prime time enough. So
never far. Happens.
Has it been like 5 straight weeks?
It's close, if not.
If not, they've been on that 4:30 window.
They have been, I think, in an almost exclusive window or on a national TV game basically every week.
Is it in Detroit?
No, it's in Kansas City. Come on. Do it. You know you want to do it.
I probably will. Kansas City.
Yep. I don't like Goff on grass. Goff on grass is not good. Buffalo, hey. Atlanta on Monday night. Bills coming off a rough one. I think they bounce back and just smash the Falcons.
Really? Bijan Robinson.
Okay.
I mean, you can't take a chance in this type of competition to pick against the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. Good work by you. There's two Monday night games. Chicago, Washington is the other one. A rematch of the game that sank the Bears season last year on the Hail Mary.
Hell of a game if it was 1984 and 1985.
Jaden Daniels is back.
Yeah, Washington won this game.
Okay, we're the same on that one too. Let's wrap it up with our official scores for the Steelers-Browns game. I think it's going to be a whole lot closer than we want it to be. I think it's going to be uncomfortable at times, but I think the Steelers win by a touchdown, so I'll go Pittsburgh 23-16.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of field goals in this one.
Oh, it's going to rain a little bit, maybe, potentially. Maybe. A little slick. But, yeah, Steelers win. They cover 27-16. A missed extra point. You're
telling me Boz is going to miss an extra point?
No, I'm talking whoever the Cleveland Browns kicker is.
Oh, he's got a funny name. I can't remember it now. Hold on. Browns kicker. It's a funny name. What the hell is it?
Browns kicker, funny name.
Schmidt. Schmidly. S-T-M-Y-T. How would you say that?
Schmidly.
Schmidly. Yes, Andre Schmidly is the Browns kicker. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. We appreciate you checking in and supporting the show. Don't forget to follow on all your social media, especially on Instagram, if you want to crack at that Yoli's $100 gift certificate. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and tell two or three other people that you think may enjoy this shit show to subscribe as well, because once we get to 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, somebody's going to win their choice, either that autographed Will Howard helmet or the autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest. Thanks to Slammy. Thanks to Coley. Thanks to everybody. Man, Slammy was in there giving picks on each and every game as we went through. Even Brian Garrett, Rick Barry, everybody in the comments.
Mark Torcha, Malone.
Dale Gribble, all of them. We appreciate you checking in on the show. Dale Gribble.
Dale Gribble. Like a, Dale Gribble sounds like a fake name.
You think?
Well, no, maybe not. This is Pittsburgh. A lot of ethnic names around here.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Cabali's going to go take another nap, and we'll talk to you in Sunday after the game. Kaboom will be live at Heinz Field, and I'll be right back here in my usual spot. We'll break down the Steelers' beating of the Browns, hopefully. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. Don't worry. Jinxes aren't real. Thanks for checking in on the show. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a good weekend.